Welcome to another inspirational message from Gateway Life Church. We're so glad you've joined us and trust that this podcast will be a blessing to you.
Well, thank you for your giving. Today I want to take this opportunity to wish all of our dads a very happy Father's Day. And before we get into it today, I just want to acknowledge the person, you know, with whom, if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't be a dad. And so I want to acknowledge my wife, Trina, today. Thank you so much, honey. I couldn't have done it without you. And I mean that sincerely. Thank you for making me a dad. You know, we have three children in heaven. We have Isaac and Joshua there, and a child with which we don't know the gender of, but we know that we have three children in heaven who are waiting for us. They're waiting for you. Someday we will meet them, and it's a great blessing. But to have daughters like Holly and Anna, and now I have a son-in-law, Dan, I tell you what, I just feel so incredibly blessed. And you know, I was there for all of our children's births, all of them. And you know, I was doing whatever I could to help Trina get through the labor pains and get through the delivery, as a dad would, you know what I mean? And I'm, you know, can you imagine for a moment, just imagine this for a moment, I'm right up against her ear at one stage. Trina is lying on her back and she's just enjoying this beautiful moment of not having any labor pains. You know, ladies, that moment where there's no labor pains and you get this great sense of rest. And in that moment, I'm going, Trina, you know, I'm trying to encourage her, like, I don't know what I was saying, probably keep going, you know, don't give up now, you know, whatever. Anyway, I'm trying to help. And Trina did this, I'll never forget it. As I'm talking to her in slow, can you imagine this in slow motion? She's on her back. She goes, at about this pace as well, this speed, this index finger comes up and she goes, it was as beautiful and as peaceful as that. And I took the biggest step back. I knew that I didn't have to say another word, say, you've got this, baby, I can tell. But, you know, when my wife was in labor, I'd try and tell her some jokes, you know, to distract her from the labor pains, but she didn't seem amused. I think it was the delivery. That's my one and only dad joke for Father's Day. The other person, so thank you, babe. I do love you so much. You are the best. Mwah. I also want to acknowledge my dad. My father is here on Father's Day. I've already wished you a happy Father's Day, but I love you, mate. And so happy Father's Day again to you. Mwah. And this is my beautiful sister. Would you stand up for a moment? This is my sister. Look at her. Ah, you've grown. You've grown up. I love you so much, and thanks for bringing Dad today. So, Dad's got a footy. So, I'm going to share with you today a passage that has inspired me for years. You know, every time I read it, it speaks to me in a fresh way, as the Apostle Paul gives us three keys, three verbs to a win, and the one thing that he chooses to forget. And so I'm going to begin to read now from Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, and it says, not that I have already attained it or am already perfected. Can we keep in mind that up to this point in time, the Apostle Paul had been used by God very, very powerfully. Okay, God was using him. We know that he had a radical conversion, and God was using him to plant churches. God was using him to perform miracles and healings, but yet he begins this passage very humbly by saying, not that I have already attained it or am already perfected. What a great way to start. He's very, very humble. And so he goes on to say, but I press on that I may take hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended it. In other words, I haven't arrived yet. He's also saying that there's plenty of room for spiritual growth and development. How many here believe there's still a lot of room for some spiritual growth and development? My hand is so high up. And so we're all on a journey. None of us have arrived yet. Okay, we're all moving forward. And he goes on to say, but one thing I do,
forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. And if Paul hadn't already let us know just how focused, how determined, and how hungry he was, he then concludes this powerful confession of faith with, "I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." And so today, I want to highlight three keys, three verbs that will help us to win. And in case you didn't know, a verb is a doing word. It's an action word expressed in an act of occurrence and state of being. And so the first key today, the first verb is the phrase to press on, which means to start. It's one of the ways that we can define the phrase to press on. It means to start. And I believe that someone here needs to press the start button and begin to move towards your personal health goals, but more importantly, your faith goals. To press on means to plug away, to carry on, to keep on keeping on, to hold on. Last month, we checked out, you know, a series entitled Discipleship. And with the tagline, "I am responsible." And one of the things that we learned there, when it comes to one of the characteristics of a disciple, is the characteristic to hold on. And sometimes in life, you just need to hold on. Is not life at times like a roller coaster, full of ups and full of downs, deep downs? And isn't it true, if you've ever been on a roller coaster, really what you need to do, unless you're like Anna or myself, we like to let go at times, but really at the end of the day, you've got to hold on until you get to the end. And so it means to plug away, to chase after. I love this word, to run after and to stick it out. It means to continue, to keep moving forward in a determined way, often despite of problems, challenges, even setbacks. Is there someone here today and you've just encountered recently a setback? Something has come against you as you've decided or made the decision to move forward. Has it not been too long before something has come out to oppose you and to stop you from moving forward? Well, I want to say, don't give up. And that is actually a good sign. It's a confirmation that you're on the right track. I also want to say this, that a setback is a setup for greater things, and God is preparing all of us for greater things. And the scripture tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, that all things are working together for good. I tell you what, the Apostle Paul, he must have been into sports. He must have, because he uses so many, he uses such great imagery to describe faith. He talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 26, he says, "So I run." He's liking himself, he's liking the faith walk to athletics. He's like, "So I run with purpose in every step." He's not just walking around aimlessly. It's like there's purpose in every step. But he goes on to say that I'm not like a boxer beating the air. Another definition says that I'm not shadow boxing, Paul says. In other words, when I've got them up, I'm not just beating the air. I want my punches to land on something. I want to have an impact. And so this is just the first key. The second key, the second verb that Paul describes in his pursuit of Christ is to take hold. And I love this. When we take a look at that word and begin to unpack it, other ways to describe this word are to lay hold of, to apprehend. You know, I've never seen a policeman arrest someone very tentatively. Do you understand what I'm saying? They don't take them by the hem of their shirt and beg politely, would you please come this way? No, I don't know if you've seen it, but when a police person arrests someone, they apprehend them. They take hold of them and they tell them where we're going to go. And this is what Paul is saying. If you want to win, if you want to get the breakthrough, if you want to move forward, you can't do it tentatively. You've got to lay hold of it. And I tell you what, you getting some growl in you and on you and out of you is going to cause you to get your breakthrough. And you know, when we look at the word breakthrough, you know, we all want a breakthrough, yes? We all want a breakthrough in some area, don't we? Like every single one of us are fighting a battle of some kind, and we all want to get a breakthrough. But you got to understand that in order for someone to get a breakthrough, something has to break. You can't get a breakthrough without something not breaking. And the thing that usually needs to break is a mindset. The thing that usually needs to break is an old way of thinking. As it goes on to say, to arrest, to catch, to capture, to seize, which means to make it my own. And I really like what Mark Waite was saying last Sunday around our panel. And as I was preparing and taking a look at this word to make it my own, it made me think about what Mark had to say last week. You know, when he was talking about church, he says, hey, you know, things change, he says. Mark said, things change when you no longer see Gateway as that church. Things change when you see Gateway Life Church as my church, when you own it. Number three, the third key, the third verb and descriptive imagery that Paul uses here is the phrase reaching forward. Now, reaching forward is a powerful statement as we picture an athlete straining towards the goal and the finish line, stretching out every inch of their body to go further. In fact, the difference at times between winning and losing can at times lie within the stretch and the extending of ourselves to finish strong. Can we please get that image up on the screen there? Thanks, Kate. And so I love this. This is like a 100-meter final. And check out the determination on the athletes' faces. Check out how they're extending themselves in their bodies as they lean forward to capture as much advantage as possible. And I'm telling you, if you want to win, and if you want to get the breakthrough, you have to extend yourself and give it your all. Give yourself, the Bible says, entirely to this so that your progress may be evident to all. And the one thing, so that's three keys to a win, three verbs. And the one thing that Paul chooses to forget is his past. When he says in verse 13, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. You know, my friends, can you imagine for a moment what it would be like if the memory of our past were erased? I wonder what kinds of people we would be. I guarantee that we would be a lot freer. I guarantee that we would be a lot happier. I guarantee that we would take a few more risks. I guarantee that we wouldn't be so tentative to step out because we wouldn't be afraid of rejection. We wouldn't be afraid of failing. Can you imagine what that would feel like? And this is why we love Children's Church so much. This is why we are, you know, big supporters of children's ministry, because children don't think like you and I do. And this is why Jesus took a child in the midst. Remember the story? He was teaching the multitudes and the disciples were there, and the little children wanted to come and just sit on Jesus' knee. And the disciples were rebuking the children, say, get away, you know, from Jesus. You know, he's got more important things to do than be with you. But Jesus rebuked the disciples and said, no, leave them alone. He said, never stop the children coming to me. And parents, do all you can to get children to Children's Church. Do all you can to get youth to youth ministry. You just don't know what God will do in a moment. And so Jesus likens the kingdom to children because they're not afraid to come. And so we've got to get past our past because our future is not in our past. I don't believe necessarily that God, you know, takes our brain out of our head, puts it in the washer, and erases every bad memory. I don't believe that he does that, because that would be God taking our will and our choices, our free will, away. But he gives us a choice to believe what his word says, so that we are set free from the past and so that the past no longer has a hold on us. I want to share this story. I had somebody make contact with me before going into this weekend. And this person knows who they are. And I know the background in this person's life. They haven't had a great relationship with their own father. And so coming into Father's Day, it raises a lot of memory. It raises a lot of feeling and a lot of emotion. And I understand that there are many here who perhaps haven't had a great relationship with their own dad. It's possible that over 90% of the people here have never been told face to face that their father loves them. I have to say that is not our story. Our own dad would never stop, you know, telling us how much he loved us and how proud he was of us, and which is a great blessing. But I understand that it can be very painful to never hear those words that, you know, you've never been told by your own dad, as they've looked you in the eye and said, I love you, you're going to do good. But this particular person said, I'm not sure if I'm going to come today. What do you think? And so I spoke to this person over the phone and I said, look, come. At the end of the day, it's up to you what you choose to do because you're free. But I'm encouraging you to come because in you coming, you are saying to your past, past, you have no hold on me today or in my future. But if you don't come today because of the memory of your father, you are saying, without saying anything verbally, you are saying to your past, you still have a hold over my life because I really want to come to church today, but I'm not going to come because the occasion reminds me of my past. But if you come today, you're going to set yourself free. And so that person, you know, had to think about it. And I want to say that they're here today. And even though I'm not going to announce who that person is because it could be a whole bunch of different people, I just want us to give that person a great big hand for their courage. Give them a really big hand, would you? And for everyone else who chose to come here today. And so no athlete ever won looking back. No athlete ever won looking to see who's behind them or by listening to the negative voices and opposition around them. You got to stay focused, my friend. You got to keep your eyes on the prize. No athlete ever won looking back. No athlete, no sports person ever won tuning in to the negative voices of the crowd. And I want Jack Takel to come and give me a hand right now as I just demonstrate something real quick. And so I played all my junior football with the Albury Tigers. Started playing when I was 12 years of age in the under 13s, and we won some premierships and stuff like that. And so I played in the under 15s and went straight into the Ovens and Murray Thirds at the age of 15. Played my first senior game with the Albury Tigers at the age of 16. Most of you would know that I had a run with Collingwood back in 87, which was a fantastic experience. It's also partly the reason why I'm here today, because when I got to Melbourne, you know, can you imagine, like, it was my childhood dream. Like every young boy, it's their childhood dream to play in the AFL. But of course, when I got down to Melbourne, I realized it wasn't what I wanted, and I wasn't prepared to pay the price, to make the sacrifice in order to live an AFL lifestyle. And so I actually came quite, you know, discouraged with life because I thought, oh, this is what it's all about. I thought it's all about playing in the AFL, but then I got there and realized this is not what it's about. And so I came back to Albury and to play with the Tigers, and we used to have this guy. Okay, we had this guy, and he was our full forward. And I want you to imagine just like a 6'4", very good-looking guy. He was very, very athletic. He was strong. He had a reputation. And so another guy and myself, what we would do is at training, we would... Very good, Jack. How are you, man? How's that form? So what this other guy, myself, would do, because we were like okay with, you know, the ball and the pill and stuff like that, the football, that is. We used to call the football the pill. Okay, all right. So what we would do is actually have these training drills where we would kick it to him. He would lead out from full forward at training on a Thursday night before the weekend. And let me just explain the way that he would attack the ball. He was fast, man. And he would run like with such determination. And we would hit him on here on the chest because that's what we would do, Mark, because we were like, anyway, that's what we would do. And so he would run just... you know, just handball it to me, Jack. You know, so he would run, bang. He wouldn't even leave the ground, okay, because if you leave the ground, you have nothing to ground you. And it doesn't matter how strong or how fast you are. If you're up in the air to take the ball, you're easily bumped off. And you could actually get hurt. As soon as you leave the ground, you're not grounded. Okay, and this is why we got to ground ourselves in the faith, because Christ is our foundation. He keeps us grounded. And so he would come out like this. Yep, bang, so hard. And he'd keep running like there was nothing to stop him. And of course, when you keep your feet on the ground, then you can either go left or right and play on and kick the goal. So the point that I'm trying to make here is this. When there was no opposition, he was an absolute star. But come Saturday, he hardly got a possession. He would hardly kick a goal. And one of the reasons why is because he would be so tuned in to the footsteps around him. He would be so tuned in to, you know, the negativity and the, you know, just what footballers do to put you off your game. So he was tuned in to what was around him. He was like the athlete looking back. And so I'm just enjoying having a kick right now, to be honest. It's a lot of fun. Thank you, Jack. Give him a hand. But you see, the Apostle Paul said, here's the one thing I do. I forget those things which are behind. And he goes on to say, and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. What God is saying to us today is this. Get out of your past. Get past your past. Your past has no value in your present or in your future, except for the lessons that you have learnt. That's the only value your past has in your present and in your future, when it comes to the lessons that you have learned. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. I want to ask you this question. What do you need to forget? How are you going to get past your past? You know, I believe, you know, that so many people just live their life looking back as they rehearse and count. Perhaps you're someone who does this here today. It's like you're rehearsing and counting the losses. So instead of counting your blessings, you're counting your losses, you're counting your regrets, you're counting the failures. And even if you're not counting all of your failures, there's like one particular failure or regret or mistake that you're counting, which is kind of, it could be just one, but you have blown up that numeral one so big that you can't see all the blessings. And so it's time to get past our past. But what about us today? Are we pressing on through to our personal breakthrough and pursuit of knowing Christ? Or have we stopped running? Perhaps something has derailed us, demotivated us, discouraged us, or even devastated us. But let's not live reactively or defensively to life's circumstances, but let's live proactively and progressively from faith to faith to faith to faith. And at the end of the day, you can either make progress or make excuses. But if it's really important to you, you'll find a way. If it's not, you'll find an excuse. In fact, the moment you stop making excuses is the moment you'll start making progress. And so, I want to encourage you to press on, take hold of it, and keep reaching forward. As we begin to close, I want to read to you now from a great scene from the movie Rocky V, and I know that Chad will particularly enjoy this script. And it reads, let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place. And I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you're hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Now, if you know what you're worth, then go out and get what you're worth. But you got to be willing to take the hits and not pointing fingers saying you ain't where you want to be because of him, her, or anybody. Cowards do that, and that ain't you. You're better than that. I'm always going to love you no matter what. No matter what happens, you're my son, you're my daughter, you're my blood, you're the best thing in my life. But until you start believing in yourself, you ain't gonna have a life. And I find that so inspiring. And so someone here needs to hear, you can do it. You can win. You can get the victory. The victory is on the other side of you, pressing on, taking hold, and reaching forward. I just want to invite the music team to come. I'm excited for you. And you know, like I said, some of us can, we can like rehearse and count the losses, the regrets, and the failures. And I just want to say, stop counting those and start counting your blessings. But if you're going to count something, there is one thing I want to encourage you to count when it comes to your past. And just a few verses earlier in Philippians chapter 3, we read the Apostle Paul is actually counting something in his past. And Philippians chapter 3 verse 8 says, "Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ."
Thanks for listening to this week's message from Gateway Life Church. We hope you were equipped, encouraged, and empowered. To stay engaged or to learn more about us, please visit gatewaylifechurch.org.au. We hope to see you soon.